Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello. Howdy fucking doodah. Welcome back to another episode of Unfazed and Unbothered, the podcast where we rant, rave, and ramble about literally any and everything. I am your host, Camo, and I have a lot to say, okay? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. This week, life updates, what's new? I linked up with a friend I haven't seen in quite some time. You know, I've been talking a lot about this lone soldier journey that I've been on, if you will. And I hadn't seen this friend in like 2+ months. I went seeing them 5+ days a week for the past like 10 years to not seeing, texting, talking whatsoever. So it was very cute and gorgeous, for lack of better words. So we had a great time. We watched Hocus Pocus on a projector in his backyard. We had a little bonfire and we ate strawberries with Jet Puff cream on it. Put it in the fire. Take my word for it, y'all. It's great. Delicious. So cute and gorgeous. So that was fun. The movie was great, by the way. I have heard mixed reviews and personally, I loved it. I did. It was definitely different, but like also the last one came out like 20 something years ago. Come on now. It's a new day and age. And I feel like they did a really good job of so the kids that played the witches, their backstory, I feel like they did a damn good job of replicating the personalities of the witches. So it was done very tastefully. It was done very well. It kept my attention and it was very nostalgic. It was very cute and gorgeous. And I loved it, quite honestly. I mentioned last week how we were going to be cleaning out my house, and thank God today the Salvation Army, the homophobic army, came and picked up a lot of our furniture, got rid of it. The premises is looking less cluttered. Still a lot of shit in here that's got to go, but one step at a time. Something like that. One thing at a time, one day at a time, one step at a time, okay? We're making progress, point being made, and I couldn't be happier. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I can't believe it's taken almost 4 years to get my grandmother to this point, but she's here, so round of applause, Mimi. Mimos McMuffins. What else? Oh, I went shopping the other day. at the mall. I've not been shopping at the mall in quite some time. I've been trying to not go shopping at the mall. I've been trying just to stick to thrifting, which, by the way, my thrifting problem has become even more of a problem in the past 2 weeks. I've been a little reckless with thrifting and buying records. Please. But I went to the mall and I went to this store, Edge. Don't know if any of y'all are familiar. It's like a little hooker-esque store. It's very much fast as fuck fashion, very much one and done, a lot of their pieces. There are some that'll last a little bit longer. I used to just go get their accessories and maybe like an oversized jacket, but nothing ever fit and flattered me. Nothing. And so the other day I was like, you know what? I've lost a lot of weight, 98-ish pounds now. Let me go back to Edge. It always had me on edge when I was up in that bitch because nothing ever fit. But to my surprise, I picked up this skirt. I picked up a medium and a medium top. Went and tried them on. They were too big. Now, mind you, this store typically runs smaller. So when the mediums were too big, I was like, wait a minute, bitch. Wait a fucking minute. Had to get smalls. I got a small in this skirt. And the top, which I'm going to show y'all, was so sexy. Bitch, I can't even believe it. Here we go. So this was me the other day. Now, I would not pair these two pieces particularly because the top is giving Beetlejuice realness and the bottoms, well, the skirt is like an army green. It's got this cute and gorgeous rhinestone big buckle belt. It flares out. It's got ruffles. I'm obsessed. I'm fully obsessed. And I can't believe that I'm here. I really can't. I can't believe. If you had told me 8-9 months ago that I would be here at this point in time, physically, I would not fucking believe you whatsoever. It took me 3+ years to make the progress that I've made in 7 months this year. And I am very proud of myself. Not a lot of things in my life I've been proud of, but this is such a proud moment for me and continues to be a proud era season for me, if you will. I am just obsessed. The abs, are you kidding me? They're coming in hot, hot and ready, bitch. Also, last week, I'm fucking careless, y'all. I'm so sorry. I've been editing the YouTube videos myself and I am a little careless and lazy. I promised that I would insert pictures of my outfit at the Cigarettes After Sex concert, and I totally forgot. And immediately when I posted the YouTube, I saw a comment. It was like, where's the pictures? So I'm so sorry to you girls who actually cared. I know some of y'all probably don't give a fuck, but to those of you who were like, damn, Cam, where's the fucking picture? Here we go. That was my outfit. Very pussy. This cute and gorgeous cheetah skirt, had pockets on the front, a zipper. I had this little black bomber crop jacket. I had a bralette underneath it. Let me show y'all a little video of it. Oh my goodness.
I just probably just exposed myself with them photos at the bottom.
It's hard to show y'all this on my phone. But here we go. Yeah, cute and gorgeous. Bralette. Skirt, bomber jacket, period, and a little top hat. So cute. What else has happened this week, though? I got a new set. Miss Julie at Tansy Nails off Pleasant Hill inside Jeju. Iconic. I love this set. It's a yin and yang moment. It's got some sparkles, got some ombre effect. Can't go wrong with myth. Damn, bitch, you got a lith. Miss Julie. Love you, queen. I'm eating some seaweed. One of my favorite snacks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seaweed is very slept on. Sound off in the comments if you're a seaweed princess. So flavorful. It's like the ocean's chips. And now I'm out and sad. Yeah, so I'm going to go on a break. But when I come back, I am going to do something new and exciting. I'm going to be reacting to old songs and perhaps some music videos that I've posted in the past. And I'm also going to give backstories on some of these songs. I think it's going to be pretty funny because there's some diss tracks I want to go over from my past and just have a little kiki with the girls. So on that note, I'm going to go on a break. And when I come back, we're going to get into it.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I don't know if I'm ready for this, girls. So the first song I want to go over from my discography is Coming for Blood. If you know, you know. This situation was a roller coaster. So to paint you the scene, I was 20 or 21. It was 2016. At the time, there was a lot of police brutality videos going viral online. Black Lives Matter was becoming very prevalent and a big conversation all over the internet, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. And I was very vocal with my disgust. I was sharing videos left and right. And, you know, when you share your opinions online, there's going to be someone with opposing thoughts, and they, of course, are going to share them. So I had shared the Philando Castile situation, very unfortunate tragedy. If you're not familiar, he basically was pulled over for some traffic violation. The officer came to his window. He was told to put his hands up. He told the officer, I have a gun in here. I have a permit. One thing led to another. He lost his life in the car with his girlfriend or wife and their child. Very unfortunate, tragic, sad, and disgusting situation. And I posted it on Facebook and said, this is murder. Something else. Something about it being murder and like how, I don't remember exactly what I said, but this motherfucker chimed in. I can't keep my mouth shut any longer. I'm tired of you sharing this horse shit. You're so ignorant. Cops have a job to do, to serve and protect, and they'll serve and protect if that means their own life. beepity boppity boopity beep boppity boppity beep boppity. Don't act like a hood rat. You wouldn't lose your laugh. Now, I'm like just so disgusted that somebody's life has been taken and you're justifying it with saying that the cop had a job to do. Did you watch the video? Because he was very compliant. Very compliant. Hood rat? What? Come on now. So, yeah, me and him were going back and forth in the comments. So to paint you an idea in your head of this person, he was about like 5'1", maybe 110 pounds, very small, petite twink, tried very hard to fit in with the rednecks at our school. It wasn't working. They all tolerated him because he was friends with most of their girlfriends. Bunch of little Blue Lives Matter racist motherfuckers from Winder, Georgia. So he would tailgate at McDonald's parking lot in Bethlehem every fucking night, it seemed, till 2-3 in the morning sometimes. And motherfucker would wear rhinestone buckle jeans, some cowboy boots, fucking American Eagle top with a fucking scarf, puka shell necklace, Oakley shades. It just a fashion disaster, a crisis. And to top it off, Sally French tip press-ons. How are you doing, Puka? You still rocking the Sally French tip press-ons? Can't relate. Never could. Never would. Never should. But, you know, to each his own, I guess, sis. So, yeah, so he had shared his opinion online, and I'm petty, so I was like, okay, Whitey, and he didn't like that. He was like, oh, so you can share your opinions online, but I can't. That's so childish. You're such a child. I'm petty as fuck, so I'm just attacking the fact that he's wearing puka shells and, just doesn't know how to put himself together. And he's like, oh, you're so childish. Starts making all these statuses about me, whatever, telling me you're trash. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody likes you. Your music is trash. You've done nothing with your life. All this, whatever. So I'm just thinking to myself, whatever, it is what it is. He blocks me. And a few days later, randomly, he messages this girl that I was friends with on Facebook. She so happened to ride my bus like 10 years prior, but there was no indication that we were friends, and I had never hung out with this person. We've not really talked much in our lives. So I don't know why, of all the people he could have reached out to, he reached out to this girl and was like, get your little friend. Tell them they know where to find me. McDonald's parking lot, tailgating, of course. And I'm gonna beat their ass, beep bada bada boop. Please. Okay, the delusion. So I'm not feeding into it because I knew that if a physical altercation did transpire, it just was not gonna go well for him. I'm 5'11", I'm a fucking stallion. There's just no way in fuck. Physically, he could have taken me, and it was just, I'll give it to him for being so confident, but, no. Now, one of our mutual friends who also just tolerated him, it's funny because every one of his quote-unquote friends have always spoken so horribly about him to me. But anyways, that's the past. He's probably a whole different person, but honestly, I don't really give a fuck. But she was like, hey, you need to add him on Snapchat. And I'm like, bitch, why am I gonna add him on Snapchat? Because his snaps are so fucking cringe. So I added him, and immediately adds me back. Why the fuck are you adding me, you fucking faggot? I would never be seen with a faggot like yourself. Which is just so surprising to me because, like, bitch, you take dick up the ass too. Why do gays and LGBT people act like they're, well, some LGBT people, be acting like there's a fucking hierarchy scale? Who can out-gay who, or who's more gay? Bitch, we're all queer, okay? What difference does it fucking make? I just thought it was silly. But yeah, I would never be seen with a faggot like you. go ahead and call me a racist with your N-word friends. Please, I screenshotted that shit so goddamn quick and put it on Facebook. And one thing led to another. I was like, bitch, I'm going to go fucking meet up with this motherfucker. He's posting on his Snapchat.
I'm at the McDonald's, and this faggot ass bitch is scared as shit not showing up. You see, here I am, and they're not showing up.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm taking my fucking time. I took like 45, I lived half a mile down the street. I took like 45 minutes to an hour to get up there, but it was still like 8 or 9 p.m. This motherfucker was there till 2 and 3 in the morning tailgating. So just when I got there, he was gone. It didn't make any sense. You posted all them Snapchats and now you're nowhere to be seen. But I showed up in a little crop top, these leggings, some nails. I had a ponytail in, some boots. I was giving cunt. And he was gone. So I had noticed that his bestie at the time, who ended up becoming my friend over this situation, I noticed her in one of the trucks out there. To paint you the scene, it's, like I said, 8 or 9 p.m. I showed up with a car full of like 3 or 4 people, and then 2 other cars of people that knew me showed up in support to back me up in case it was necessary. There was like 10 people there for me, and there was like 10 people there for him, but he was nowhere to be found. So I see his bestie and I'm like, hey, bitch, where's your friend? We got into a little altercation. One thing led to another. She gives me his number. I'm FaceTiming him. He's not answering. That the mutual friend that had me add him on Snapchat FaceTimes him. He answers. I grab the phone out of her hand. Bitch, where the fuck are you?
I have work in the morning, so I had to leave, but I'll find you in these streets.
Bitch, bring your ass here now. You're here till 2 and 3 in the morning, bitch. It's fucking 9 at the latest. What do you mean? You live 2 minutes down the road, sweetheart. Please bring that ass here. Didn't. Nothing came of it. His people, his crew, his crowd was over there talking mad shit. And I'm like, listen, y'all can get your ass beat on his behalf. If you got something to say, right now is your opportunity. Say something. Step the fuck up. Crickets. Crickets Boots McGee. So I was not willing to back down at that point because you talked all that shit and got on Snapchat to your 2 followers, 2 subscribers, whatever, 2 friends on Snapchat over there talking all that shit that I didn't show up. And I did. I made my snaps and I'm like, hey, bitch, I'm here. What's all that shit you're talking, puka shells? And that night I recorded this song. So without further ado, I'm going to give y'all a little clip of it. That was a long ass story, y'all, but I just had to give y'all the backstory as to why this song came to be.
DC letter day.
Wait a second, who? Look at me, bitch, look at you. I'm the petty god, what you wanna do? Just name the location and I'm coming through. If we throwing hands, I'm getting cuffed. Cause you gon' end in a body bag stuffed. I don't play these games.
I'm gonna fast forward to the chorus.
I got plenty more tea, we can sip it and sip.
Don't kiss and tell, fool, ha, there's you a tip.
Cause I hit that bitch shut and made that ass unzip.
I'm coming for blood.
Oop. Not me forgetting my own lyrics.
When I make it rain, bitch, I'm causing a flood.
Load up the chopper and aim for your head. Pow, pow. Oopsie, shot a motherfucker dead. Ah!
I'm coming for you when I'm coming for blood.
Good times, good times. Yeah, she's petty. She's petty. So, after this song came out, it went around town. Everybody was talking. The girls were talking. Now, what was funny to me is that he, out of spite of the situation, was giving me all this free promo, sharing my music, trying to attack me online over it, talking mad shit to everybody. I understand, you know, I would too if someone made a song that fire about me. Yeah, and I just kept getting word of mouth from other people, and his bestie at the time switch sides. She switched up on his ass and was like, I just gotta say, this motherfucker was talking all this shit and was playing all your music and was like expecting us all to talk shit, and I liked it. I liked it. I did. And so we became really close after that situation. But yeah, after that, it didn't end there. For weeks, I want to say, for weeks, me and my friends would go to McDonald's just on the off chance that we'd run into him. And of course, like I said, he was always there tailgating. So every time I would see him, I would roll down the window and be like, hey, Pooka, how you doing? Hey, Pooka. So after weeks-ish or however long it was, his brother threw a whole McDonald's Sprite, threw it in my friend's truck, Sprite everywhere, runs at me with a knife, a fucking knife, a hunter's knife, chasing me down with this fucking knife. Of course, I was in the car. My friend fucking takes off. I had this other fucking friend, called the damn police. Bitch, why would you call the police? Why would you call the police? We're sitting here provoking a situation and you're gonna call the police? Bitch, what the fuck? He was just so worked up. So he called the police. The police did get involved. I left. I fled the scene because at the time I didn't know if I could get in trouble for my song because, you know, I said, coming for you, I'm coming for blood, load of the chopper, aim for your head, boom, boom, beep, blah, blah, boop. Now, for the record, I don't own a gun. I would never shoot somebody, but it was metaphorically speaking, like my words, I'm coming for you, bitch. I'm coming for blood. And that's exactly what I did. And anyways, the cops got involved and his bestie was allegedly there, the one that, you know, switched sides, and she filled me in on all the juicy details. So his family came up to McDonald's at the crime scene, if you will. I was home, scared, I'm not going to lie. I was sitting there thinking, oh shit, I'm going to jail again. And didn't happen. That wasn't the case. But the parents had informed the police officers about my song and was like, my son is scared to leave the house because he's saying they're going to shoot his head, beep, beep, boppity, boop. And they played the song and the officers laughed and was like, ma'am, there's really nothing we can do. Rappers, they talk about killing people all day and all night. There was no mention of a name. So she's like, but they made it so painfully obvious that it was about my son. They were talking about the things he wears and this, that, and the third. I made it painfully obvious. I did, without saying names. And they didn't win in that instance. And then for years after that, ever so often I would get bored and just feel like bullying him. And I don't know what he's doing anymore. Don't really care. But I think he married a cop that looked like a sloth. Match made in heaven. Blue Lives Matter, motherfuckers. I don't understand. But wow, what a long, long explanation. I'm gonna go on a break again, and when I come back, I'm gonna dive into another song. So stay tuned.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I did not expect this episode to be this long already off of one song. So this may turn into a series if you girls enjoy it. I might just start going through old songs left and right. in future episodes. Let me know if you, you know, like this idea. So this next diss track, another diss track, that was always my go-to. When I got into beefs with people, immediately I was on my mic. I was in my room. I, at the time, was living in an apartment with my mother. I was getting a social security check because I was in remission from my bone marrow transplant, or my blood disease, had my bone marrow transplant. Everything was in remission, but I was still collecting a very, 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 very small government check. And I was living the life, essentially. Didn't have nothing going for myself. Didn't have anything to my name. I was broke as fuck. I was pinching pennies, but I was, for some reason, what's crazy to me is I had the least. I didn't have much going on, but I can say that in that period in time, I was seemingly the most happy I think I've ever been in my life. It was just such a carefree time, so much self-discovery. But anyways, very, 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 very fun chapter of my life. But around the same time that the Puka Shell situation had occurred, there was another queer who lived in my apartment complex. Now, this person had messaged me in the past several times on the app Grindr. Messaged me several times, never gave them the time of day. They were not my type. A very vain person. Now, we all have a level of vanity to us, but if you knew this person or had met them, I don't know how they are now. They might be a changed woman. We all change. I'm not who I was during this period of time. So this is just, you know, my stories from that period. But just not my type. I'll say that. And I had never met them, but they lived in my apartment complex. I didn't know that. A mutual friend of ours one night hit me up and was like, "Hey, Camo, you want to smoke?" It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. I'm like, fuck yeah. So I go out. She's like, "I'm in this Lexus." I'm like, "Bitch, you ain't got a fucking Lexus. Whose car are you in? Come on, my friend's going to smoke us out." And I was like, "Okay." So I get in the back seat and immediately the driver's seat extends all the way flat. And this motherfucker was so weird. So fucking weird. There was something wrong with him. This motherfucker looks over at me. "Hi, do you know who I am?" So uncomfortable. I'm like, "Oh, hey, girl. Yeah, I recognize you." Passes me his very, it was a cute little bowl, but it was like rhinestones all over it. Like, two queens don't rule a kingdom. Maybe they can somewhere, but it's not my type whatsoever. And we were in his sugar daddy's car. He had a sugar daddy at the time. Maybe still does. But he was in a sugar daddy's rental and riding around town in that shit. After that night, we became acquainted, I'll say. We were not friends. Maybe in his eyes we were friends, but he was not my friend. Okay. I would hang out with him because he was smoking me out with sugar daddy's weed. And at the time, like I had said, I was broke. I didn't have money to buy my own weed. So I got it how I could, you know, and I had to hang out with the most raunchy motherfucker I've ever met. Now, we started hanging out occasionally, always with that mutual friend, though, because there was no way I was hanging out with him on my own. One day, though, he did invite himself over, but like used our friend, made it seem like she was on the way too. He comes over, comes into my apartment. I had, like, at the time, a it wasn't a love sack beanbag bed thing, but it was one of those big ass beanbags that you can sleep on. Multiple people can lay up on it. And he's up on my fucking beanbag and starts playing. This is when Don't by Bryson Tiller had just came out. It was the first time. He's the one who put me onto it, actually. He starts playing that and he's trying to get all sexual and like popping his ass for me. And I'm just like, period, queen. You want to smoke? You want to smoke? Yeah, let's smoke, baby. Let's smoke. So we're getting high, cootie pootsie. He's over here like putting energies out there that I was just not receptive to, if you know what I mean. This went on for a few months. There's so many stories that I could tell you about this particular individual. I really can't believe, thinking back, that this is a real human being or was a real human being. I had introduced him one day. Now, I had to give my friends a backstory and let them know, listen, the situation is what it is. We're going to get high, girls, but please just know this is not my friend, okay? Just throwing that out there. And I'm letting you know they're going to say some shit and do some shit that's just going to make your skin crawl. Lo and behold, he pulls up. We're sitting outside this little gazebo picnic table area and waiting for him to show up with the weed, the goods. He comes up. His favorite fucking brand was Michael Kors at the time. He shows up with this brand new maroon colored Michael Kors bag. Does not say hello to my friends whatsoever. The first words he says, I'm like, hey, he puts his fucking purse on my mother's grave. I swear to God, hand on the Bible. He puts his fucking new purse in front of my friends who he's never met, doesn't know who they are, doesn't know them from Adam's House Cats, literally puts the bag in front of them and says, what does that say? Michael Kors. Don't you wish it was yours? Please, my bitches were so shady as they should be, but they were keeping it calm, cool, and collected because they wanted to get high. You know, we wanted to get high, so we tolerated his bullshit. One time, he invited me over to his house for the first time, and I went over there, and we're on his back porch, and he passes me his bowl, and I hit it. This motherfucker starts laughing. I was like, what's funny?
That's not weed. That's spice.
Bitch, excuse me. Thank God I didn't hit it hard enough or the bowl was clogged or whatever. Also, there's like a fucking gnat in here or some. Get the fuck out of here, bitch. Anyways, so he tries to poison me with spice and it just didn't work. So immediately I was upset and I left. I was like, what? Why the fuck would you? Are you kidding me? Anyways, so fast forward, he had came over to my house a time or two after that. One time, my bestie, Ariana, was over at the house. She, at the time, had worked at McDonald's, and she had a Dasani water bottle. Now, we don't do Dasani. She don't do Dasani anymore, but at the time she was working there, you know, they sell Dasani water. So she had a Dasani water bottle. He comes up in my room and picks up her water bottle.
Who's drinking Dasani? Ew. If you're not drinking Fiji, you're poor.
Like this, I can't make this shit up. One time, me, him, and our mutual friend were at the gym in our apartment complex, and he's looking in the fucking mirror, admiring himself, which is fine. I do the same thing. Damn, this fucking gnat, bitch. I swear I don't have fucking flies and rodents and shit up in my house, okay? We're at the gym. He's admiring himself in the mirror. But it's just funny because we would go to the gym and he would never work out. He would never work out. He would just sit there in the mirror the whole time we're there. And this particular time, he starts screaming. He's looking at himself, kissing the mirror, and starts screaming. And then goes, Satan! Satan! It was so weird. It was so fucking weird. And he runs out of the gym screaming Satan. And then comes back in. It was too much. It was too fucking much, bitch. But fast forward, he's at my house this one time. And I've always been a thrifty person. I've always been obsessed with vintage clothing. I've always had nice designer pieces that were thrifted. I've always had an eye for that stuff. I used to resell on eBay. So, you know, it was, I always had like vintage nice furs and vintage designer sunglasses and accessories, whatnot. And people really liked that shit. And back then, I would just have it all. My room looks like a little department store. Like I had everything set up so cute and on display. Not safe. Not a good idea when you're having a bunch of people over at your house all the time. And I had this fur jacket. It was like a fur trench. I loved it so much. And he puts it on one day and literally runs out of my house with it. Runs out of my house in this fur jacket. Now, at the time, I was, like I said, broke as fuck. So that was a prized possession to me at the time. Fur jackets are very expensive. I did thrift it, but still, it was worth some money. So he runs out of the house with it, and I can't get a hold of him for days. For fucking days. I go hang out with our mutual friend one day, and she's got like five people over at her apartment. And when I come in, everyone's looking at me like they all knew something. And I was like, what's going on? Do y'all know something that I don't know? And everyone's like, who's going to tell him? I'm like, what? Long story short, he destroyed my jacket. And his excuse was he got pulled over and the officers ripped it apart to make sure there wasn't drugs in it. So at the time, I knew that he had this sugar daddy, and he was also simultaneously dating a friend who came from Alabama and was came down here to date him, essentially. They didn't work out. He cheated on him. So the friend was like stranded in Georgia. Their car was like broken down. Me and his boyfriend, partner at the time, we became really close, really quick. And I kind of took this friend in and let them live with me for a few months. But anyways, because he was dating that person, they had the sugar daddy's number, right? And so at this point, I'm pissed. All things considered, everything that's been done and all just the weird behavior, I was pissed. I was pressed. I wanted my fucking jacket. It was ruined. So I called the sugar daddy and I was like, hey, you're sugar baby is cheating on you. And my friend confirmed that. And then that like bonded me and the friend, like you cheated on them. You left them high and dry. And now they're moving in with me and we're becoming close. What a theme. A lot of friends, me becoming friends with people who were besties with or intertwined with arch nemesis. Interesting. So, yeah. Anyways, here's a clip of that song. This one is very petty and horribly edited, but this one's a little too much.
I told you I don't play, bitch.
Hold on. So remember how I said he would be like, what does that say? Michael Kors. So I used his catchphrase, but at the time I had a lot of Versace, and Versace was like my favorite brand. Of course, it was all thrifted, so whatever, but still, I used his own phrase against him.
I told you I don't play, bitch. I'm fucking petty.
What does it say? Versace.
Tacky ass bitch, use a motherfucking joke. Should have aborted your ass back when you was a yoke. Cam, calling out your material last. Taking over, bitch, I'm the one teaching the class. Take that Michael Kors and shove it far up your hole. Like the sugar daddy dick that you've been riding for both. Use a do nothing, bitch.
Almost forgot my lyrics again.
In your daddy's rental car.
I play dirty, bitch.
So go ahead, lottie dottie.
I've got
shooters I can call, then to back up your body. Bad bitch, hell nah, use a fucking thotty. No taste, no class, you're fucking shoddy. I don't play, bitch, I don't play. I don't play, bitch, I don't play. I don't play, bitch, I don't play. I don't fucking play.
Yeah, so another petty instance of my life. Yeah, what a time it was. A time it was. We ended up, well, we didn't really squash the beef. It escalated after that. So the song came out, of course, that also went around town. And like I said, I had contacted his sugar daddy and kind of ruined that situation for him. And he was so pissed. I remember, so fucked up. I was at my great grandfather's funeral. And he called me and was like, if you ever fuck with my money, I'll fucking kill you and your fucking curly headed sister and your disabled mother. Like, he was so nasty, so fucking nasty. Said the nastiest shit. Obviously, he was just all bark, no bite. But a very troubled individual. I'm a troubled individual, too. Don't get me wrong. But that is a type of trouble I just can't relate to. Fast forward, I was at the pool at our apartment. Months later, he tried to be cutesy pootsy with me and like try to kiki, try to resolve the situation, but I was just so disgusted. He allegedly had stopped smoking, and it was the smoking weed that was what was causing him to act in such crazy fucking ways. I'm not buying that shit, but yeah, it was funny. He came to the pool, and I was with a group of queens. And one of them played that song on speaker, and it was just so uncomfortable. I have so many stories from that period of my life that I potentially can share. If you girls want to hear some more, let me know. I could go on Till the Cows Come Home about old music that I've done. Now, obviously, these songs were not tastefully done. I did everything myself, not the beats, but like the vocals, the lyrics, the recording, the editing, all of it I did on my own. I had no training, so like they're not the best sound quality. They're not mixed mastered properly at all, but it definitely was a part of my past. And I have so many other songs with so many other backstories that I could share, but those were probably the two biggest disc tracks that had the juiciest stories behind them. So I wanted to share those with you. Interesting time there it was at the Farmington Hills apartments, the government apartments in fucking Bethlehem. Y'all, I will never forget. My mom was obsessed with me. My mom loved me so much, and I loved her. She was my biggest fan, and I will never forget. My mother was always in the mix, always in the fucking mix of all my dramas, with the fucking puka shell instance, hyping me the fuck up with this situation. She was blasting the music. She was sharing the music. She was in the comment sections going back and forth with motherfuckers. My mom, she convinced me to, or she like called the sugar daddy herself and was like telling the sugar daddy that this was a family heirloom and was trying to get money out of him before we had like exposed him for cheating on him. But anyways, I can't remember all the details and the timeline exactly, but I remember my mom was just always in the fucking mix, and she icon. That's all I can say. But this has been a long episode. I hope y'all like it. I was trying something new. Like I said, there's a lot more I could do like this in the future if, you know, y'all liked it. So let me know in the reviews. Let me know in the comments. And this concludes this week's episode. I love y'all. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll see you next week.
The The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.